This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I mean, I want to set this up the best way I can because I don't like tension. I want everyone to get along. No, I'm not talking about Bob and the entire city. I'm talking about Frank Caliendo and Mac Morey. Frank, does Mac not know who you are? Like, he treated you like he treats me on like a Saturday night when I'm asking him what's up. Frank, what gives with Mac just ignoring you?
No, I think he knows exactly who I am, and that's why it took him forever to get back to me.
Now, if you were Mike Caliendo, he'd have been right back to
100%.
You.
100%. Oh, Jim, Mike Caliendo, he's getting rolled.
How you been, Frank?
Did we talk about that last time I was on with you guys? Not just that, but the fact that Mike Caliendo, when they use it as an excuse to bring me up, which is always great. But I think Nance, and the last time he talked about it was Mike Caliendo looking more like Frank Caliendo. What a great! And I got so many texts that day, and people hitting me up on Twitter and all that stuff. It was very funny that not just to mention me, but like again. That's great. I mean, I think I'm gonna message Mike and see if he wants to come out to the show. Tell him, hey, you want to bring Patrick? We'll
do a little of this, man.
When are you coming to town, man? What's the schedule for you?
Well, here's the thing: it changed too. The last time I was on, it was going to be a Sunday. Now it's Thursday. Wednesday, April 16th? Is that what it is? Can somebody look? FrankOnStage.com. Gives you the info, frankonstage.com, which I thought Mac could have looked during the downtime between him texting me back and even now.
Right, he didn't, though.
So it's a Wednesday night because I do Omaha on the Thursday night, and then I head home. I think Easter's that weekend. So
right.
It's Wednesday the 16th, is that right?
Yeah, it does sound right, because my birthday is the 19th, and that's a Saturday this year, so you count back a little bit, and there, boom, ipso facto, the 16th.
I mean, I've almost been mad that you. I mean, you got Saturday is that day, and then 2 days before, and then the Sunday is Easter, and then boom, looking for eggs.
Are you diving into this college basketball tournament?
Yeah, about as much as Charles Barkley.
Oh.
My act came to life this last week. When Ernie asked him, what do you think of the first half, Charles? Well, That's a good question, Ernest. Kenny Smith is like, it's your job to know what's going on. And he didn't. He's like, you guys know I was watching a different game. They're like, can't you, you can watch multiple games. That's what everybody does. But I was really focused on this Bryant game. I'm like, what are you talking about? Michigan State Bryant is what you're – come on. You're silly. So it's been – it's the great thing about that with Charles Barkley doing the NCAA tournament is he's like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't watched any college basketball all year, and now he's tuning in and pretending like he knows a lot about it while he's making wagers.
And honest to God, I think that is the best part about Charles Barkley is he is one of us, right? Like people, when they first started doing the tournament, people would get mad that Charles didn't know anything. And I'm like, he's the every American. Nobody's watching college basketball until the beginning of March.
He made that so entertaining. Here's the thing. I remember Rick Pitino being brought on years and years ago, and he was I don't know if it was the scandal that happened while he was out or whatever, or he was trying to make a comeback, but whatever it was, and they had him talking about the Big East, and he knew nothing about the Big East at the time, it seemed, because he'd been down south, I think with Louisville at the time or whatever, but he was out of touch with the Big East, and he was like, you know, it's just a bunch of vowels going. So I do think that's – I don't like it when people pretend like they know what they're talking about, because I've been around a few different college basketball teams, and what they put out there is not always the truth. Like they were talking about – one early in the season they were talking about Mo Crevis, who's a 7-footer, a 7'2 guy at Arizona. And one of the games they were talking about, Mo Crevis is injured, and he was projected to be the best player on the team this year. At no point was he ever going to be the best player on the team this year. He was, had a lot of draft talk and possibly even lottery talk. But that doesn't mean you're the best player. That just means that you projected, you know, they draft guys at 18, 19 years old in the NBA and they develop in the league potentially or, along the way. It's all about potential with the NBA. So I listen for a lot of these guys and I go, you don't know what you're talking about. But so when Charles does not know what he's talking about and he admits he doesn't know what he's talking about, that's a breath of fresh air compared to everybody who's just trying to move up, you know, the ranks in college basketball to try and get NBA games.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you on that. I think it is refreshing when you have analysts that are just normal people. You know, I think, you know, I was at spring training last week and I'm watching this kid in front of me just watch the baseball game and get so excited, you know, with the players and all that kind of stuff. There's so much minutia in sports now that the people like Charles Barkley to me are just refreshing breath of air. I mean, it's good to see that there can be just a normal guy up there who doesn't get caught up in the minutia of sports.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's the fandom. Sports is such a business that the fandom on TV is fun to see as well. And a lot of times you're trained not to be a fan at all in the business, right? That's not what you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be closer to a reporter than a fan. But Barkley, and I guess Barkley with the NBA is kind of an anti-fan. He'll talk about it. That guy hasn't played for 6 years. He's been on a roster making millions of dollars. That's what's wrong with the game, Ernie. That's what they're supposed to be talking about the positives, but it's all that's what's wrong with the game is that nobody cares, Shaq. You know, Shaq's over there going, I don't even know you play. How long ago did you play? When I was six. You know.
Talking to Frank Caliendo here. I want to bring this up because I thought this was interesting. I read somewhere either on Reddit or somewhere on the stupid internet that like the South Park guys refused to take any shots at Mike Judge because of the respect level. Has ever been like an impersonation that like you're just like that's not errors. Anybody can be on deck.
I think anybody can be. Yeah, anybody can be there. I think it's just how do you go about it.
Okay.
I try to find a positive spin on anybody, and there's different ways you can do an impression. You can do it by you have an emotional response to somebody. So you can either go from love or hate. I try to find the love aspect and have fun with it as opposed to disliking a person. And you can tell those angry types of impressions where the person doesn't like the person they're doing the impression of. I find something that I enjoy about a person. Even if it's somebody I don't really like, I'll find something that I do like about them, and that's what I'll make fun of and have fun with it. So it's just about having that positive.
Who was your first? Like, when did you do, like, what was your first impression?
Jay Leno, when I was I probably did in Living Color characters, Damon Wayne's characters, like, cranky, me, cranky, come back, cranky, that kind of thing. Or, let me show you something, a Jim Carrey in Living Color.
Fire Marshal Bill.
And I would do a bunch of SNL type of characters. Leno was the first person I think I did. I looked in the mirror. I was in college at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, sophomore year, jutted my chin out, and I was like, hey, how would you like some nacho cheese, flavored Doritos, crunch what you want, we'll make more. And then it turned into Beaker from the Muppets. So, I mean, I always did Muppet voices and even some cartoon voices as a kid, but it was more as I got to be, 18, 19 years old, right before I entered the transfer portal, I went from University of Wisconsin-Parkside to University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. You guys have been great, I ask you to respect my decision. I am entering the transfer portal.
Right.
That's a funny thing. My brother heard me talk about this on the radio in Milwaukee a couple weeks ago. Like, people are so against the transfer portal. I'm like, you don't realize until you're inside of college sports and see how that recruiting is just lying. Like,
right.
These kids get completely lied to the whole way. And a lot of kids are delusional of what they're going to be, too. That's why some of these, it goes back and forth of who's really at fault for why a kid would choose whatever program. But I've been around a bunch of kids who've been lied to completely. And I even talked to coaches that have been in the college world that have been like, well, we get them on campus, and then after we've recruited them, tell them they're the best thing in the world, we have to spend the next 2 months de-recruiting them that they're not going to play. You know, you're like, well, that's a gross, gross world. It is what it is. I don't know how you fix that, but it is what it is. So when people get mad at the kids for leaving, I'm like, I don't get mad at that at all. And I don't love it, but at the same time, most of the people who really hate it were college athletes that wish they could have transferred when they were younger.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you think about all these college kids too, Frank Caliendo, that could have made a living being who they were on their college campuses, knowing they weren't going to play in the pros in any sport, but they were like huge folk heroes on their campuses.
And the kids work really hard. I mean, there's and somebody else is making the money off of them.
Yeah.
And I do think, I had a friend that I would always get into a battle with who was big on, he's like, but it's college athletics. I go, well, if it's college athletics, why are the colleges making so much money? I mean, they're making crazy amounts of money. My kids go to ASU. The tuition there is insane, and but the athletics, they make these TV deals and they're worth, tens and hundreds of millions of dollars. I don't have a problem with the kid making them. I do think, like everybody says, there needs to be a system, a better system, because it is the Wild West and you can just go from place to place to place. But they're still getting lied to. I mean, that's why so many kids transfer. There'll be 1,500 kids in the transfer portal for basketball in the next month. Well, there's a reason for that. Some of them are delusional. Absolutely, yes. But a lot of them were told one thing, and then as soon as they sign on that dotted line, there's a kid from Europe coming in to take their spot. You're like, well, why didn't they mention that kid from Europe coming before the transfer portal closed? What happened? How did that happen?
No doubt about it.
It's all kind of planned. You can't do that in pro sports. I mean, I tell you this, other thing.
That's the Yankees in pro sports.
Or the Dodgers, right?
Yeah.
But the way it all works out, I just whatever a kid can get, I'm all for it. Because it's kind of hard as it is to see it, and you think it's corrupt, and it is all over the place. There's corruption on either side. So if I were a kid or I had a parent, I would try to be true to my word as much as I could. But if somebody lied to me, why do I have to uphold my end of the bargain if you completely lied to get me here? Right, that's a difficult.
Speaking of transfer, I mean, I can only imagine what it'd be like if like Gruden and Jim Rome were to announce college basketball.
I tell you what, man, I really enjoy trying to find out what's going on. You see some of these players, man. You said Rome. I had to think of who the other one was. Incredible, phenomenal. How great is this? Izzo going to his 600th straight NCAA tournament, making it to the Sweet 16. How great is that? How old is Izzo? Izzo. I love saying Izzo. Izzo. Izzy. Is he Izzo? Of course he is. Rack me. I'm out. Tell you what, man, I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be tremendous. Duke, you ever see Cooper Flagg, man? Cooper Flagg, this guy does some tremendous things. He's like a bunch of different basketball players all rolled up into one. 6 foot 10 inches tall, man. I saw him standing next to LeBron while I was opening up a box for that a college sent me for 20 minutes, and then I put on all their gear, and then I did a pizza review. But I'll tell you what, man, Cooper Flagg did a tremendous jump from the three. You ever play NBA Live back in the day on the Nintendo Entertainment System? And Tom Chambers could triple pump dunk from the three-point line? That's Cooper Flagg, man. That does a tremendous job.
Hey, you want to see more of that? You can go to the Funny Bone on Wednesday, April 16th, and see our guy, fan of the show, Frank Caliendo. We love you, brother. Take care, and continue to be awesome.
Awesome. I'm going to get into the town early, too, guys, so I'm going to come in and see you, even
come
if you
in.
Don't want me to.
No, you'll come in studio. We'll have fun with it.
We'll have a salad for you that's made of arugula.
Incredible. Greatest lettuce of all time. A lot of other lettuces. Iceberg. Titanic. Out.
On that note, Frank Caliendo, you love to hear it. When we come back, which AFC team has improved the most? I'll tell you why. It's the Raiders here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Shout out Frank Caliendo, in case you missed the announcement, April 16th at the Funny Bone. Feel like we ought to go, boys. He comes on the show. He's a fan of the show, returning guest. It's like, who fans of the show? We got Lefevre. You got, which I think Lefevre's on the drive today, by the way.
Is he?
I
believe so.
Yeah. I think he actually might be in studio. I might be giving a bunch of wrong news, but I'm pretty sure he's on the drive today. We'll have you loaded with Royals guests. You had mentioned the Hall of Famer.
George Brett.
Yep.
Sometime on Thursday. Locking down the time and place and all that kind of good stuff.
Matt Cotrero comes on the show tomorrow.
Yep, just sent him a message. Hey, remember tomorrow.
Have your cheese blanket ready.
I get my cheese blanket ready. Yep.
And
that means we get to listen to, hey, Matt.
Yeah, that's right.
Good morning.
I do have it on a credible source that those guys are in the studio putting more music together.
Oh, I like that.
I told
Can't
them
wait.
The limitations our boss gave them. Let's gotta go. Condense it. And they said, okay. And then I think it was either Watson or Brock goes, do you want to write a lyric? I said, that's way above my pay grade, dude.
Yes.
I was like, no, dude, I'll just enjoy it. So shout out to the old number fives.
Awesome.
They're in the lab, collaborated a
new
jingle. So yeah, Cotrero will join the show, the Royals manager, tomorrow at 9 o'clock, as he normally does on Wednesdays. I mean, it's two more sleeps, guys.
Yeah, I know. It's getting there, right?
Derek Jeter sleeps away until we wake up with the prize basket.
Did you just see that tweet, too? Two more days till opening day. They have a picture of Jeter's number two. Yes.
And then when you wake up on Thursday, you get a little thank you basket.
That's got
some chocolate, a little money in
Here's
there.
Here's your phone back. Be on your way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't tweet about this, okay? Yeah. Fine. Thank you.
Or if you do, wait till I'm 40 and retired.
Right, exactly.
Speaking of 40 and retired, that's where Rodgers needs to go.
Yeah.
Like you would think, right? That he would have already landed. But, like, it's still there. And we brought this question up the other day because, again, this isn't, like, hatred towards Rodgers. I just have a legitimate question when it comes to both of these franchises. Like, it seems to be the narrative this year is that everybody is retaining, which makes me believe that Pittsburgh's going to bring back Russell Wilson, right? Guy knows the system.
Yep.
They brought in DK Metcalf. I assume that DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson still have some sort of chemistry together. Russell Wilson throws a pretty deep ball. DK Metcalf's number one route running is a deep ball.
Go route.
Right? So just go get it, and I'll throw it to you with the teardrop throw. I don't think Rodgers is going to Pittsburgh. That then shifts our gears, and everybody wants to see the circle go full circle with Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre to go to Minnesota. Mm. What's worse for Kevin O'Connell? Bringing in J.J. McCarthy, who was a draft pick quarterback last year who sat behind Sam Darnold, obviously was injured. Don't think he was going to be the starter last year anyway, unless Sam Darnold was catastrophically horrible, which he was not until the very end. But is Aaron Rodgers a good fit for somebody like Kevin O'Connell, who seems to be a young up-and-coming coach who personally I would think, maybe I'm wrong judging too much here, where Aaron Rodgers would come in and be like, you don't know as much as I do.
Yeah, if I'm Kevin O'Connell, I don't want Aaron Rodgers anywhere near this organization. I really think that the only coach that could bring Aaron Rodgers in is Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin, because Tomlin's got street cred and he's got the cachet of being one of the great coaches in this league, somebody that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be able to bully like he's been able to bully coaches over the past couple of years and bully organizations, quite honestly. Kevin O'Connell has taken Kirk Cousins and Sam Darnold and turned them into really, really good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. If I'm the Vikings front office right now, I'm looking around and going, we drafted J.J. McCarthy. You've turned two basically career backup quarterbacks, or, you know, second tier type quarterbacks, and you've turned them into really good quarterbacks. You've won double digit games with these quarterbacks. J.J. McCarthy, we think, is our future. We love what you've done as a coach with quarterbacks. You and J.J. McCarthy go together. And I think that's a better fit and a better situation for Kevin O'Connell than to try to bring in Aaron Rodgers, who we just saw single-handedly destroy the Jets as an organization.
Mm-hmm. Mac, what's his ceiling, J.J. McCarthy?
J.J.'s?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet. I wasn't the hottest on J.J. McCarthy. What I liked about him was that they had a contingency plan with Sam Darnold. He was a young, raw prospect. The injury didn't help his development, obviously, last season. I'd say ceiling, maybe like a middle-of-the-road, top 12 quarterback someday, not this season.
Mm-hmm.
This season, I would say a bottom 10 quarterback.
So you think his ceiling could be Brock Purdy-ish,
maybe a little bit better.
Or is there a little bit more height than that ceiling?
A little bit more, because Brock Purdy, I feel like in the past couple, and we were talking about him recently, I mean, he's probably down below half right now for us, at least from last season. Obviously, he can change that, but I would say ceiling for him is a little bit more than that.
Like,
I think
Baker?
Yeah, that seems more right. Baker-ish. Maybe not quite good enough to bring you over the top, but a win with quarterback who's talented. Maybe J.J. could be that guy.
Yeah, and he's got J.J. to throw the ball to, which makes a big difference, too.
Which is huge.
Do you think that, I want to bring that up, because do you think it's worse if there's more blame on J.J. if it doesn't work, or is there more blame on, like, well, O'Connell had Darnold and Cousins, who had been in the league before. He can't develop the young talent, but he can develop the experience, you know, given up. He can, you know, go find it at a pawn shop and make it valuable.
I think all the pressure's on J.J. McCarthy. O'Connell's 2-for-2.
Yep, okay. Me too.
Kevin O'Connell's 2-for-2 with two very mid quarterbacks, right? No cap. But I think he's 2-for-2, so the benefit of the doubt lies with Kevin O'Connell in all of this. It's going to be up to J.J. McCarthy to say, okay, this guy has had a track record. I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to go out there and listen to him. Maybe he doesn't have the talent to execute it. I don't know. But I think all of the pressure is on J.J. McCarthy to go out there and become a good quarterback. And you've got good weapons around you, too. Like, you can win with J.J. McCarthy and all of those weapons right now, because that's what you're doing. You're not paying your quarterback. You're going to be paying all the weapons around him. I just don't understand why. Again, I use kind of the Psycho X as the example here. Everybody saw what Aaron Rodgers did over the last couple of years.
Gotta watch out for those.
I mean, why would you want to start dating your friend's crazy ex-girlfriend, you know? I don't understand why any team would be interested in bringing this guy in.
Smash.
I
think he's going to retire. Hot take.
Okay. Wow.
Yep.
That'd be interesting. He'd be out of the limelight.
No, he wouldn't.
He'd do something else. Yeah. He'd do a podcast.
There's no,
he'd do
something. No, he's somewhere.
Yeah,
who hires him though?
McAfee.
Yeah,
he's got that. Yeah.
Well, that's easy.
But if he just does McAfee once a week, is he as interesting that he's not in the league anymore? Though,
who says he does it once a week? Why wouldn't he just do it every day?
No,
it's true.
Could you imagine that? Like, what's more?
If Aaron Rodgers really wants to talk about the NCAA tournament,
could you imagine if they took AJ Hawk? What's his?
AJ Hawk.
They took AJ Hawk off and replaced him with Aaron Rodgers.
That would be more entertaining.
Could you imagine that double cross? From McAfee?
I mean, there'd be something. Thanks. But wouldn't it get old after a while?
Yeah, it would.
I don't think he's got the longevity to go.
No, I don't think he does either. I don't think he's got a full week in him, let alone a career.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think a hot take I'd lean more towards, he just retires. He's like, you know what? I had my fun. I've spoken to my quiet lord, whatever it is, the darkness or the whatever.
Yeah, on the beach in the city. Yeah,
but he also knows that, like, this is week three of free agency, and every time I look up at a screen, they're talking about Aaron Rodgers. He's still the center of attention on all of this stuff.
He also really has nothing to prove. He's won, what, MVP 4 times?
Yeah.
He's won a
Maybe
Super
five.
Bowl?
Yeah.
sadly, whether you agree or not, he's going into the Hall of Fame.
Oh,
so yeah. Whether you like him or not, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah.
And, okay. And, I didn't know if we did something bad. The big boss is looking in. but no, I don't know.
See, that's where they're going to put the stadium, right out there. She's telling people, right?
moving on to local and more closer to home. Which AFC West team has improved the most to you guys?
Well, I think it's the Raiders by default. And when I say default, I mean they got a new head coach who's won a Super Bowl. Mm. And they got a new quarterback. Like, to me, you improved the two most important positions on the team. You did it with a star in the head coach and a decent enough quarterback. I think the Raiders have made a lot of nice headway this offseason just with those two positions alone. You don't have those two positions solidified. You're the Raiders of last year.
Dustman?
Yeah, I mean, Raiders were mine as well. I think that, you know, this isn't, you know, Josh McDaniels. This isn't Antonio Pierce. These aren't guys that you're, you know, getting in here, you know, cheap guys with no experience. I mean, Josh McDaniels is a great coordinator, I think. I think great might be strong, but I think he's a good coordinator. I don't think he's a good head coach. I don't think that he has that dog in him, right? And I think Pierce was, you know, I think he checked all the boxes in the interview, but then when push came to shove, it wasn't there. But also, like, what support did he have, right? You've got Mark Davis as your owner. You had, you know, Aiden O'Connell, a backup quarterback now as your starting quarterback in Gardner Minshew. Which, if you have hope that Gardner Minshew can get you 17 games, your team's not going to be great. But if he has to go in there and be a Band-Aid, has been the word of the day.
Yeah.
If he's got to go in there and be a Band-Aid for a week, maybe a week or two, you're fine. You went and got Geno Smith. Why not? You brought in Pete Carroll. Big upgrade at head coach. Whether he's still got it or not, he's still a name.
Yeah.
He's a winner. He's a champion. He can kind of get the team behind him. You do bring back Brock Bowers. You launched a huge contract to Max Crosby. You've locked him up. You've got some draft capital this year. I think what the Raiders have done is they looked around and said, you know what? Unlike the White Sox, they said, same colors, kind of. They said, we're done being the laughing stock. We want to have some sort of credibility. Do they still finish last in this division? Probably.
Probably. Yeah.
But is it 4-13 or is it, you know, 8-9?
Yeah, it could be 8-9.
Yeah. Because this division is loaded.
Yeah.
I mean, the winner of this division will probably be a 14-win team. The next best team will probably have 13. The next will have 12-11. And then your last place team might be the Raiders, but they might be 9-8.
Yeah, they
will improve. They will be better. Again, Brock Bowers, Max Crosby coming back, bringing in Geno Smith. You could still maybe go get Lockett. There's still some free agencies available out there at wide receiver. And you have the draft. And you have Pete Carroll manning the ship for a couple of years to kind of get them back on the right course. But I don't know what they're going to do. But when you look at the offseason, they've been the most improved team, in my opinion. And I know the Broncos and I know the Chargers are out there as well. So
yeah, the Chargers haven't done a whole lot, in my opinion, to get me excited about them. The Broncos made a lot of nice changes, you know, over the last 2 weeks or so that the free agent period's been going on. But I just think when you improve that much at quarterback and coach, you have to be now considered in the category of no longer a turd. And that's kind of where the Raiders are. I mean, this is going to be, I believe, the toughest division in all of football, right?
Three Super Bowl winning head coaches in this division.
I know. It's nuts. It really is. It's crazy. You've got Andy Reid, you got Sean Payton, you got Pete Carroll, who have all won championships, and then you have Harbaugh, who's people look at as, you know, the second coming. So
it's today.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
If worms had arms.
I mean,
if worms had machine guns, then birds wouldn't be scared of them.
That's exactly right. But I think also, too, you know, you look at the NFC North.
Are birds? Okay.
And that's going to be a tough division, right? The NFC North. I don't know if it's as tough as the AFC West right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think partly because of that Raiders improvement, right? The AFC North got the Browns that holding them back. The rest of the three teams comp, but the AFC West doesn't have that.
Yeah.
I think the Raiders is a fair answer because they're going from zero to something competent.
To 50. But you have to make these steps,
yes,
right?
They're fielding a real
team. It was Andy Reid and Alex Smith until they went out and got Patrick Mahomes. Now it's Pete Carroll and Geno Smith. You know, and then we'll see where they go from there. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes exists in their world in the next couple of years. Binkley doesn't think so, but maybe Geno's your answer for the next 3 years until you find your next Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and I actually think Geno's pretty good. So I'm not mad at that answer. I went Broncos. I think they signed a lot of really good players. Top 10 defense last year, and they got even better on the defensive end this year.
Sean Barber's number one tight end in the league.
They got Evan Ingram. They signed Dre Greenlaw and Hufanga, both from the 49ers. Those are both great players on the defense, which is already an excellent unit. So you're going to have Surtain next to that young beast in Hufanga. They retained a lot of their offensive line. And just like if you look at the Broncos, like Marvin Mims, great young wide receiver who had a breakout year first year with Sean Payton. Bo Nix, I wasn't fond of him. Breakout year in his rookie year with Sean Payton. He could get better. They retained that offensive line to protect him, added a weapon in Evan Ingram. Jaleel McLaughlin, rookie running back who no one really knows, but popped off at the end of the year. Just feels like they have a lot of these young guys with juice, and Sean Payton's like, all right, cool. They're going to draft another wide receiver to go along with Cortland Sutton.
The Broncos are sure hands.
Look at how good the Broncos were last year. I mean, we're a blocked field goal away from losing both games to the Denver Broncos. Jeez. Now, the second one didn't matter, obviously. But
it might have if you didn't block that field goal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. You're a blocked field goal away from going 0-2. What?
You both said exactly the same time.
You were exactly right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Set him up, he'll knock him down.
Exactly.
We move on from what's been going on in the NFL to who's on the come. It's so good you have to hear it twice.
On the come. On the come.
Bob, who's on the come?
I got Chris Bubich on the list. I'm really excited to watch him pitch this year. I think, he's had his ups and downs, obviously. Was pretty good last year coming out of the bullpen and whatnot. Earned that spot in the rotation. I'm really excited for Chris Bubich this year. Give me one of these young guys that's been developed to turn into that guy in the rotation that can replace Brady Singer. So for me, I'm looking for Chris Bubich. I think he's on the come this year.
Yeah, he's a good story, right? Tommy John was pitching well before that happened. Not like what you people would think, like, oh, he's great. No, he wasn't great, but he was figuring his things out. Got hurt last year. Was like, hey, man, you're not going to be a starter, but you can kind of earn your way back if you can give us like the trust. Was great in that bullpen last year, like you'd mentioned, and now he's your fourth starter in your rotation.
I love it. I love it. I'm excited for Chris Bubich, man. Go out there, and if you're a four, but you kind of slip into that three or potential two category, then we got ourselves a nice little rotation going on.
No doubt about it. I mean, you have two guys that finished in the top five in Cy Young last year already in there, and you have a...
Do you know Lugo was one of only four pitchers in baseball last year to log 200 or more innings?
Damn. I believe it.
So, I mean, everybody used to log 200 innings as a starter, right? Like that was the, you roll out of bed for 200 innings. Four pitchers in baseball last year had 200 or more innings, and Lugo was one of them.
I mean, it just a whole new world out there now.
Yeah.
I mean, just insane. I was trying to see if they had, there we go. My on the come is Cam Ward.
Ooh,
that's a good one after yesterday. One. Yeah.
You want to know what his odds are is going number one overall in the NFL draft?
You're not going to win any money if you bet on it,
Minus 350?
Minus 700.
Wow.
On the come.
Is that number one overall, or is that tied to the Titans as well?
Number one pick, as of right now, Cam Ward on DraftKings is minus 700. The next closest, Abdul Carter at plus 400. Travis Hunter, plus 1,300. And Shedeur Sanders on the down come, plus 3,500 to be the number one overall draft pick. So Cam Ward on the come because of what he did yesterday. Hey, just a quick little video throwing it.
That's all you need, right? Changes everybody's perception.
Do that Mahomes throw.
Yep.
Look at the Tennessee Titans side of the sideline. Say, see that? Nashville.
That was a baller move, by the way. I don't think we're making enough of that.
That's on the come. That's a hog flex.
I mean, that dude threw a dime pass and then looks at the Tennessee guys and goes, you ready?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
That's a flex, dude.
That was. And for that alone, I draft him.
Yeah, minus 700. He's not scared.
It's like him and that Shedeur video of them talking, and Shador's talking about Under Armour and Gatorade or all this stuff. And Cam Ward's like, I play football. Like, that's what he gives. He's like, I don't need any of that stuff. I'm just going to show you on the field. He's pretty badass.
Why Shedeur Sanders have an Aaron Rodgers type of first-round draft? Everybody goes, and all of a sudden, he's like the 24th pick.
There's
and it's like,
a good
he
chance.
He still hasn't gone?
Wow. Like, that'd be crazy.
That'd be the story of the draft.
The shots of Dion in the glasses just sitting there, next to Shedeur.
They just don't believe, man.
It'll be interesting to see if he falls past three, right? Because that's where the Giants are.
He's going to.
And if he falls past three... How far does he fall?
Yeah, man, it's going to get wild. Because
then if you're smart, if you're the Raiders, then you draft Shedeur Sanders to the Raiders. Because then you're just like,
that's
hey,
fair.
Watch Geno. Your game could be this.
Yeah.
This is the guy you could mold your game after. You're not starting. We know that. Set your ego to the side.
Think the Raiders would take him at seven?
Shoot, I don't know, man. I mean, the Raiders took Sebastian Janikowski at ninth or whatever
it was.
He ended up
being their best player for a generation. Yeah.
Good pick.
And then what was it? Was it? oh gosh, what was it? Hey, like Darius Hayward Bay or something like that they took because he ran like a 4.35.
Oh, yes. You could fill in any name of wide receiver there towards Al Davis's end. That guy was fast. Draft him. He doesn't play football, Al. I don't care. It's Jerry Jones is becoming Al Davis 2.0.
Mac, you have an on the come.
My on the come, Chaz Lanier for the Tennessee Vols.
You're so biased.
Yeah, you know. I didn't think that he was going to be good in the NBA last week. Proved me that I think he could be something. I think his uptick is in the draft right now. I think he'll be a first-round pick. So good for Chaz.
Yeah, he's their guy.
He's really good.
He's that leader for the Vols.
Yeah.
And they get to play Kentucky, who they've yet to beat this week.
Is it related to Willie?
Willie Lanier, yeah.
From the 913, on the come, Overland Park, on the flaccid. Jack's coming.
What area code?
That was 913. Yeah, makes sense.
I do like on the come Overland Park.
It's awesome.
We'll have more at 9 o'clock on that.
From the 660, Bubich will be back in the bullpen by June. He's where he should be. He's a bad starter, but great in the pen.
Who will be the starter then? Who moves into that spot?
Jack Caglione.
Okay.
All right.
He can throw.
Guys.
Are you moving Lynch IV up? I mean, who are
you
moving into
that?
Well,
you said
you liked him. I do, but I like him in the bullpen.
Okay.
Luke Hochaver was not a good starter, but he was really good in the bullpen.
Same with Daniel Lynch.
And that's what we were just saying, yeah. And then same with the other guy, Wade Davis.
Yeah.
Sometimes guys, and that's fine.
That's good.
That's fine. You need good bullpen arms anymore since, you know, the starters don't go more than.
I wonder if Mariano Rivera was a starter before he was a closer. Was born that way to be.
Well,
that
he was the eighth inning guy 1 year.
And he couldn't throw he didn't throw the cutter.
And then he developed the cutter, and then, yeah.
And then it was over.
Yeah.
Then it was completely
I think
over.
Everybody starts as a starter, you know, and then once you flame out from there, then they find out what you can do.
He started 10 games in his rookie season.
Good Lord.
Then he transitioned to his iconic role.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought he started off and it just wasn't great. Like, they were just like, dude, I don't know. But that was crazy because I remember when James Shields got traded over here. It was like, yeah, the steal of the trade was this Wade Davis
Elliot
guy.
Johnson.
Yeah. Tournament coverage on 96.5 The Fan brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eat, drinks, scenic views. Is this good for the sport? First four for the four main conferences are in the Sweet 16. We explain what that means. Plus, we'll give you a Vinny Pasquantino update of what we were told yesterday via the Twitter or the X. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
What's up, Kansas City? This is Jonathan India here, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Respect the text from the 660. On the come, 610 Sports for breaking viral news yesterday. Love loyal listeners.
I do too.
That report was on 610 Sports Radio this morning.
I love when people get the bit too. Like, it's just so good.
From the 816, Rivera came up as a starter.
Yeah, maybe he was doing his 14-second delay.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize he started 10 games. I have no recollection of Mariano Rivera ever starting. What year was that? 95?
There you go. Nail on the head. It said he struggled.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he went to the bullpen and figured out how to throw a cutter, and then boom.
The only 100% Hall of Fame voter of all time, if I'm not mistaken.
I think there's two.
Was Jeter 100% of the vote, too?
Okay. I think that's it. I think it's Jeter and Mariano.
Yeah.
Well, that report was on 610 Sports Radio this morning.
Thank you.
He's technically not wrong, but we'd like to let everybody know that we are on the FM dial.
Right.
And that we go by 96.5 The Fan now. So get off the AM, go to the FM. It's a lot clearer of a sound. What's the news, Mac?
Looks like it's a tie at number two, both with 396 out of 397, Jeter and Suzuki.
Okay.
So he's the only one.
So he is the only one. Okay.
Well done. So Mariano Rivera is the only player in baseball history to have 100% of the votes to get into the Hall of Fame, as reported on.
Well, that report was on 610 Sports Radio this morning.
Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Power conferences are dominating college basketball again.
Did you see all the buzz yesterday about that on the X and whatnot?
Well, because people want the upsets.
Right.
And there wasn't a whole lot. There was Arkansas.
And people don't consider that an upset because it's a brand program, right?
They're in the big Power Four.
Yeah, and that's all that's left in the Sweet 16. How do you feel about that?
I'm fine with it because, look, I'm going to sound like a hater, but, like, I want... When I don't have a dog in the fight, and a lot of you out there probably don't because you're either KU or Missouri.
Yeah, nobody has a dog in the fight around here.
I'm thrilled to watch Kentucky and Tennessee.
Let's go.
I'm thrilled to watch Duke and Arizona.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Like, I'm thrilled to watch Arkansas and Texas Tech.
Mm-hmm.
Like, big matchups, good matchups, right? Like, you say you won't watch if it's Duke versus Auburn in the final. Yes, you will.
But you know what? If it was VCU versus Hampton, you'd say, I'm not watching. I don't care about those schools.
Or if it was like Duke versus Colorado State.
Right.
You'd be like, oh, this is a great run. Colorado State won a couple games. They wouldn't beat Duke. It would be the final score would be another 20-point victory by Duke. And you'd be like, championship sucked. Mm-hmm. But if it's, I don't know, could you imagine if it's Kentucky, Arkansas?
Oh,
I mean, like,
that would be fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Is that what we're rooting for now? Kentucky, Arkansas in the national championship?
Not if you're Mac Morey.
Yeah, no.
But if Tennessee loses, he is.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I'm rooting for, quite honestly, I would love to see, like, Florida versus Duke. I think that's your most electric, entertaining battle. But again, we're not mentioning, you know,
Houston, Auburn.
Yeah, we're also not mentioning, you know, Iola or you know, Norfolk State or Chicago, whatever.
Loyola
Chicago with Sister Jean, who I believe is still kicking.
Right. Still kicking.
Yeah. She's not dead.
There would have been a tribute in the tournament to her had she passed.
She's 103, I think.
Yeah, just like there would have been for Gilbert Brown.
Yeah.
Who's still alive.
Still alive.
You'd know that.
Well, that report was on 610 Sports Radio this morning.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, when it comes to, like in the NBA Finals, honestly, give me the Lakers and the Celtics.
Like, that's going to get you to watch.
And it's also going to be entertaining.
Yep.
You're going to have Tatum and Brown and all those big stars over there. Pritchard, our guy.
Heck yeah.
You know, and then you're going to have Luka, LeBron, that star power. And even though you might hate watch it, you're still watching.
You're still watching.
And I think that's something that's fun about sports. Like, I hate watch the World Series.
But you watched every pitch.
And I got to watch Freddie Freeman have his historic run. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm not watching. I would have been like, oh, he did what?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't watch Atlanta, Texas, or whoever it was, whenever. I don't know if it was definitely not Atlanta, Texas, because Atlanta won the World Series and Texas won the World Series. But, like, I wasn't, you know, but, like, college basketball, yeah, the Cinderella story is fun for, like, the first weekend. And then after that, it's like, okay, give me the action.
You want the big guy. And define Cinderella, because we were sitting around yesterday trying to define Cinderella. For me, it's making it to the Final Four. That's a tough Cinderella run. Very tough to do. You have the Sweet 16. I don't hate that. That's fine. However you want to define, you know, Cinderella. How do you define it, Mac?
I don't know. Sweet 16's fine with me, too. Elite 8 is for sure. You know, I feel like, but Sweet 16 might be just two good games. But if you won three games, which is getting the Elite 8, that's consistency. That's a trend. That's a run. That's a Cinderella story.
That's a Cinderella story.
I think those are still possible with the NIL stuff. And I agree with you guys saying big dogs are better. Absolutely. The brands that matters more for the sport.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're still going to get that more often than not. I don't think that Cinderellas are dead. That's all I'm saying.
You'd like to see the upsets on Thursday and Friday, and then once you get past all that, it's like, all right, let's get the big names there so I can watch. But what truly defines a Cinderella? Because we went through the list yesterday, and you said from what year to what year there was the NCAA did not consider somebody a Cinderella?
It was like early 1990, 1991, till 2006, till that George Mason team.
Yeah, so it went from like Loyola Marymount, Bo Kimball, Hank Gathers, that era,
yes,
and all the way to
06.
06 before there was another
15-year gap.
Yeah, so
they don't happen as much as you think.
They really don't.
Like, again, that's the perception of sports. You know, like the Hollywood Browns always injured perception. Well, that's not the case.
No.
The Cinderella stuff happening all the time, we remember those moments. We celebrate those moments, and therefore we think they happen a lot, but they really don't.
But it's also how they're covered.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Loyola Chicago was, I mean, insanely focused on.
Right.
Shaka, Wichita State.
Shaka Smart beat VCU.
Right.
They beat Kansas.
Right.
They beat a blue blood. Whoa. You know, like.
It was crazy.
Because we don't consider Bucknell or Bradley.
Not a Cinderella. They won the first round. They didn't get past that.
So,
you know?
I would say second weekend clarifies you to be the Cinderella.
Okay, I'm good with that. Yeah. Sweet 16, yeah. You get out of the first weekend.
Because you sure as hell weren't supposed to win your first game. Then you won your second game, and now you're going to go play, spoiler, possibly again the second weekend, and you've carried that momentum because what have we talked about this morning? Nothing last night, nothing today, nothing tomorrow, and then it's like opening day, March Madness, baseball on Saturday, baseball on Sunday, and it's like an overkill.
Yeah.
But until then, if there's a Cinderella story there, You're talking about, you know, Sister Jean's leather in her wheelchair, how she's still rolling around, how Loyola Chicago got here, the two kids, one's from the local aspect. You find all these stories. Like, Drake was fun, and then they weren't.
And then, they
their coach went to Iowa, and their number one player transferred, and no one's talking about Drake anymore.
Their athletic director held, like, a symposium yesterday, and he's not happy that after 1 year, his coach left. That's college athletics now, man.
Amen.
That guy got an opportunity. Yeah, you gave him an opportunity to leave Northwest Missouri State to go to Drake, but then Iowa came calling. I mean, that's just kind of the way it works.
And shouldn't you want that?
I would think so. Look at our job, man. Guys are going to good jobs after here,
that's
right?
Good. You want that.
It's like, you know, and I think these two texts are kind of nice, and I'm going to give them a little bit of respect.
Okay.
From the 620. Nobody is ever happy. 2 years ago, they were complaining that they wanted posted early, or they wanted posted early, but didn't want them in the Sweet 16 because then we had to watch the best teams. We wanted to watch the best teams
right,
in the end.
Right, like, that's what it all, yeah.
Right. You're like, oh, yeah, this is great. It's going to, you know, whatever. And then the other one is, the problem with any Cinderella team is they have their programs getting nuked by getting big guys. And then they go via NIL and transfer portal, just an old man shouting from the sky here. No, you're right.
No, that's not
the
wrong.
Whole discussion we're having. It's like the power conferences. Yeah, there might be a year where like a couple of guys go to, we'll even say NC State, right? Because that's where that guy's going from McNeese State.
Right.
Let's say that they have like a little bit of a run. NC State, they do have a history, but if they had a special year where they go to the Elite Eight, you would start to sprinkle Cinderella vibes on them.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Last year with NC State. Yeah.
Went to the Final Four.
Right.
Is Arkansas, since they're a 10 seed? No. Okay.
Because they're in the SEC and they have Calipari.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
I just think, you know, the whole NIL thing, I'm not going to sit here and say it's screwing everything up, but it is giving those kids at the mid-majors who play well in the tournament, who take advantage of the opportunity, a chance to get NIL money.
But what it's not screwing up is that you can go, now Arkansas is relevant, now Alabama is relevant. Right.
Auburn's relevant.
It's not just KU, Carolina, Duke, Kentucky. There are more blue bloods that are getting formed because of this ability, like a UConn, like a Villanova, who I think is in that category.
Oh, Villanova is, yeah.
And I will say, if Florida wins the national championship, there's discussion to say that they might be a blue blood in college basketball as well.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up on the other side, Bob Fesco once again gives you news that either you do or don't want to hear, but either way, it's news that you need to hear on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yep.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Sports 96.5, The Fan.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.